by the Kevalam. Kalo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatiranyata. Just so that I know who I am speaking to and I can speak according to appropriate levels, please raise your hand if this is the first time you are attending a lecture at a Hare Krishna temple. Very good. I will try to be sensitive to you. And also, so that the elders, the veterans, will also appreciate. I have been requested to speak on a particular topic from a book known as Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the topmost of all the scriptures coming from Vedic culture, which is from India. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge. And there are many topics discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The one that I was requested to talk is called The First Step in God Realization. Let me set the scene. 5,000 years ago, roughly 5,000 years ago, the king of the earth planet, Maharaj Parikshit, was given notice that he was to die within 7 days by trick, by fate. He was cursed. He was powerful enough to counteract the curse, but he decided that he would take this incident and renounce the kingdom and prepare himself for inevitable death. He was given notice 7 days, and that was actually fortunate for him, because he had 7 days to put everything in order and prepare himself for the final test. Because the Vedas teach that this whole material life that we have, this whole life that we have, is simply a series of tests to see the choices we make, the decisions we make, the inclinations we choose to act out on. And it's an accumulation of choices and decisions. And the final examination is the moment of death. Because as we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, which is the main scripture that we study in this Hare Krishna movement, the Srimad Bhagavatam elaborates on the topics of Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita is the foundation. So one of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna instills is that whatever you are thinking of, whatever the most prominent desire that's there in your heart at the time of death, determines your next life. Yes, which is another concept, that you don't die. You live. Even there's that song from the movie Titanic, My Heart Will Go On, I think how the song goes. So the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, the teaching of the Vedas, is that you, the soul, not what you see in the mirror, but the real you, the soul, the eternal principle, that's going to go on. And depending on how I live this life, will determine where I'm going in my next life. And again, what is my main consciousness? What is my main general desire at the time of death determines where I will continue the chapter. You could say life or lives is like a book with one chapter after another. Each birth is another chapter. So Maharaj Parikshit was not just an ordinary king. He was, as is described, Rajarshi. He was a saintly king. He was a king, but he was also on the level of a saint. And so he knew very well, I have 7 days. I must prepare myself for that final exam known as death. And his death, the curse was that a magical snake bird would appear and bite him, and his body would burst into flame. That's all part of the curse, as we say. What a way to go. So he decides, once he accepts, once he's informed that you have 7 days to die, he goes to the bank of the sacred rivers Ganges. And because of who Maharaj Parikshit is, great, great king coming from a very illustrious family known as the Pandavas, who is very intimately related with Krishna. So he comes from a great family tradition. And he himself, while he was king, exhibited himself to be of a exemplary character. So when it was known that Maharaj Parikshit was going to give up his body on the bank of the Ganges, all the great personalities from the universe, great powerful sages and rishis and brahmins and even demigods from the higher planets came down. They all wanted to see this 7 days Maharaj Parikshit, and they wanted to see how he was going to give up his body. So when all these great personalities arrived, Maharaj Parikshit treated them very, very humbly and was very meek and begged them to please guide him in his journey. And then on the scene came a very special personality, Shukadeva Goswami. And everyone agreed, yes, here is the topmost transcendental person. Because Parikshit had questions. He wanted these questions to be answered, not only for himself, but these questions were questions that would be very, very pertinent for all human beings in the future. The future being the age that we live in, the age of Kali. The age of Kali is called the Iron Age, the age of quarrel, strife, hypocrisy. Anybody have any disbelief that we are living in an age of quarrel, strife, and hypocrisy? Anybody is aware of what's happening in the world? You can understand, yes, this is the age of quarrel, strife, and hypocrisy. So Parikshit's questions were designed to help us. And these questions and the answers given by Shukadeva are recorded in this Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can benefit. So Shukadeva was accepted that he would answer the questions of Maharaj Parikshit. So, Parikshit's first inquiry is that, now that I'm about to die, what is my first duty? Being a king, and also being in Vedic culture, the concept of duty is always there. A person like Maharaj Parikshit, who was emperor of the world, cannot act whimsically or capriciously. He has to act. Every decision that he makes has to be very, very conscientious. And he showed that through his life. Whenever there was any problem, any decision, he made it very conscientiously. It is described that Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to God. Somebody who was always, at every moment, consciously surrendered to God, there is a technical term, Mahabhagavat. Great, great devotee of the Lord. That was Maharaj Parikshit. So at the time of death, he wants to know, what is my duty? What am I supposed to be doing at this time? This is the opening question, because within 7 days, there will be many questions by Parikshit, and each question, his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami, answers to his full satisfaction. And throughout the exchange, Shukadeva will say, are you satisfied with my answers? And Parikshit will say, yes, but now I wish to go further. I wish to go deeper. And the whole series of questions leads to the question, Parikshit wants to know all about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Can everyone say that beautiful name, Krishna?
Krishna!
Very nice. But this first question, what is my duty now that I am on the threshold of death? What is my duty? The Guru, Shukadeva, blesses him. Yes, Parikshit. Your question is glorious. So this is good. A spiritual teacher like Shukadeva is enthused or encouraged when the level of question is appropriate. And when the speaker sees that the level of questions by the student is at a nice level, he becomes enlivened and puts more of his heart and soul into the answers. So Shukadeva says, yes, the question you are asking is actually the prime question that every human being should be asking. What is my duty? And if you think about it, Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days. But you and I, can any of us here guarantee I have 7 more seconds? Anybody guarantee it? Or days? Or months? Or no, nobody can guarantee it. No doctor will guarantee, yes, yes, I guarantee. No, they can't do that. So, we are even in a more precarious condition. So therefore, the state of mind is very important at every moment. So Shukadeva is saying, yes, this question of yours is very good and it's good for everybody. Then Shukadeva says, unfortunately, there are those who are living their life blindly. What does he mean by living their life blindly? It means they have no thought of God, no thought of the next life. They're just living more or less like animals. They just want to eat, sleep, enjoy their senses. They're not worried about the next life, or they may not even believe in the next life. All they care about is the body, or if they're a little more refined, their mind. And Shukadeva says, yes, they're busy in the day. What? Money, 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 money. Where is money? How to make more? Or in the night, where is woman? Where is wine? Where is party? Shukadeva Goswami says, these persons, they're blind to what is called Atma Tattva, the truth of the self. In the Bhagavad Gita, I mentioned Bhagavad Gita, the first lesson coming out of Krishna's mouth, which is the first transcendental subject that has to be understood. Because when we talk about transcendental knowledge is a vast library with level after level after level. And you know what? Level within, you can go as deep as you like, as far as you like. There's enough information in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In one life, you won't learn everything. There's so much information. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are 700 verses. And you can spend one day meditating on one verse the whole day. And not only that, the next day you can meditate on the same verse and you'll still come up with even more ways of seeing how it is. Yes, there is meditation, but the meditation is on the philosophy of Atma Tattva, the self. So the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna uses 20 verses to explain, you're not what you see in the mirror. That's not you. Just as you're all wearing clothes. But I don't say to you, oh, Mrs. Green Sweater, how are you? What your name is?
Francis.
If I came up to you and said, Green Sweater, how you doing? You would think, who? What is this nut? No. You have a name, and if we're strangers, I will introduce, my name is Narantara Das, and you will say, oh yes, my name is Francis. We address each other, because we know, any sane person knows, I'm not my clothes. Another example that Krishna uses, you're not the car you drive. Whether you drive a Mercedes or a Hyundai, you're still the same person. You may think you're different. I'm driving Mercedes now. Now I'm important. But you're still the same person, whether you drive this or that. So the body is like a car. The body is like a set of clothes. So Krishna, in 20 opening statements of Bhagavad Gita, is hammering this point. You're not your body. You're not your mind. Your eternal soul. What is soul? That's a topic that we could spend months discussing. Krishna gives some ideas of the soul in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Everlasting, primeval, like a ray of sunlight emanating from the sun being God himself. And just as the sun ray has all the qualities of the sun itself, guess what? The real you, the soul, has all the qualities of God Himself. Difference is, the sun ray is not as powerful as the sun planet. Same in quality, there's no difference, right? But the sun globe, super, super, super powerful. The sun rays, just a little bit. So, yes, we are God, little, pipsqueak God. Yes, you can say, I'm God. Which kind? The little one. And don't worry, we're all in the same boat. So nobody can say, you know, well, I'm a bigger sun ray than you. We're all the same. And Krishna, God, He is the big one, the big God. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying that people who are devoid of Atma Tattva, knowledge of the real self, their soul, they become attached to what is known as fallible soldiers. Fallible soldiers means, say you have an army and you're going to fight the war, but if your soldiers are not expert or if their weaponry is deficient, your soldiers aren't going to do a good job at defending the kingdom. They're called fallible soldiers. So Shukadeva says, yes, these people, devoid of knowledge of the soul, they have taken shelter of fallible soldiers, their own body, or their children, or their bank balance, or their great nation, thinking, yes, this will protect me, this will save me. Temporarily, yes, but at that examination called death, none of these things can save you. But what can save you? Knowledge of the soul. That's what can save you. Shukadeva gives a initial response now to the direct question of Parikshit. That what should he do now? What's his duty now that he's on the verge of death? And so Shukadeva says, well, if you want to become free from all misery, then you should hear, you should glorify, and you should remember God. Become God conscious. And he says that this God is in your heart. How many of you accept this concept that God is in your heart? Now for me, I was raised Roman Catholic, and I don't remember them teaching that to me. But at the age of 5, I was sitting on the stoop of my house, the front stoop, and I can still remember what the kind of clothes I was wearing, some kind of jumpsuit. And I had this understanding, God is in my heart. Like I said, that was not taught to me by Sister Mary, whatever her name was, because I went to 13 years of Catholic school and Brother Cain didn't teach. But when I came in touch with my eternal father, Srila Prabhupada, and I started to read his books like this one, over and over again, he was using this term, the Lord in the heart, super soul. And this was, wait a second, I knew that at 5, and he's confirming it. was such a nice experience. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, hear about God, glorify God, remember God. This is what you should be doing. Not only on the verge of death, and we're all on the verge of death, but 24/7, 365, 100. Now someone may say, why? Why should I? Well, Shukadeva already gave one reason. If you don't take shelter of God, you're going to take shelter of something fallible. God has innumerable names. One of them is Achyuta. Can everyone say?
Achyuta.
Achyuta means God is infallible. So if I don't take shelter of God, I'm going to take shelter in something fallible. So that's a good reason to take shelter of God. How do you take shelter of God? You're doing it right now. This is God's house. So when you go to someone's house, you have taken shelter. You're hearing about God right now. You're taking shelter. Later on, you'll take shelter of God in the most congenial form, prasad. Spiritual food that was offered to God out of sacrifice. And that food was offered, and because it's offered out of love, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if something is offered to me out of love, I bless it. Actually, he says, I shortchanged Krishna. Krishna says, Ashnami, I eat it. God eats? Yes. He will eat that offering that you make. But what is he eating? The love. I was speaking at a friend's house last night. Many of you were there. Kamlesh Patel. So, we were talking about what is the real goal, ultimate goal of life. And I was explaining that when you accept Bhagavad Gita, when you accept Srimad Bhagavatam, you come to the understanding the ultimate goal of life is to develop dormant love for God. Dormant means it's already there. Doesn't matter who you are. You may be Satan himself. Dormant love of God is there. It may be hidden. It may be asleep. I may reject it. I may deny it. But the fact of the matter is, dormant love of God is there within everyone. And by association, and by what Shukadeva is saying, these preliminary procedures, hearing, chanting, glorifying, remembering, worshiping, or, as I said, eating. That dormant love of God begins to be awakened. It's not something difficult to accept. Remember, the sun ray has all the qualities of the sun planet. We have all the qualities of God. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, God is the greatest lover. If you look up here in the back, this picture shows how God is the most outstanding lover. And it's exactly, I'm using that word, lover. I'm not going to go much more into that. But we'll leave it at that. And you are, there's another thing that's very nice. You, and you have an individual, unique, loving relationship with God. What do you think about that? When I learned this, that made me very happy. That I have a unique, loving relationship with God. I have forgotten it. I have neglected it. But now I'm going to discover it. That, my friends, is the definition of self-realization. Self-realization means you factually understand, you, I'll use the word, scientifically understand what is your unique individual relationship of loving service to God. And it's reciprocal. Nobody wants a one-way relationship like this guy, the football player, Monte. Nobody wants it. You want a real relationship, and you want it to be reciprocal. So, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching self-realization means you will eventually discover what your unique, individual loving relationship with God is. And when that's revealed, you see how their hands are up like that on the altar? They're not doing aerobics. That is a sign of tremendous ecstasy. Because they know what is their unique, loving relationship with God, and they have become ecstatic. Because, unfortunately or fortunately, God is not an old man with a beard. No, look at how Krishna, he is attractive, he's youthful. Even though he's the oldest person, he is more beautiful than Cupid himself. So they are ecstatic. And the phrase is, Hari Bol, everybody say.
Hari Bol!
Yes. That's self-realization. That you will know what is your eternal, individual, unique, loving relationship. And that's why, for me, every day I get up in the morning and I sincerely and as much as I can seriously engage in this chanting process, because I want to find that out as soon as I can't wait. When you're a little child and it becomes the month of December in America, I remember growing up, it's December, 20 days till Christmas. 10 days till Christmas. 1 day till Christmas. Oh man, I can't wait. So in the same way, and Jesus said, unless you become like little children. So in the same way, like a little child, I'm calling out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Because I'm waiting. When that day will come, when it will be revealed, it will be revealed. So Sukadeva Goswami is now saying to Maharaj Parikshit, doesn't matter how you get there, Maharaj Parikshit, you can take this path, you can take this path, you can take this path. But how do you pass the final examination? You have to be able to remember God at the end of your life. That's it. Now someone may say, hey, piece of cake. No, not so. Not so. Here's the test. You're driving in your car. Somebody cuts you out, right? Somebody cuts off. What do you say? Do you say Hare Krishna or do you say something else? That's a good test. That's a good test. Do you lose it? Because death could be like that. Unless you are constantly practicing, the moment of death is not going to be idyllic. Oh yes, I will die in a nice room, and it'll be on the beach. I'll be on the beach here in Laguna or Hawaii. No. So you have to be ready. And according to what Krishna says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, later on in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna says that at the time of death, unbelievable pain takes over. And it's not so easy to remember unless you have practiced your whole life. Because the bodily airs are becoming disturbed. And so the mind can be deranged. So that's why one must practice. We should consider ourselves spiritual athletes. I'm sure all of you know this famous basketball player, Kobe Bryant. Right? So every day, I'm not making this up, every day he spends hours bouncing a ball and throwing it in a hoop. One after the other. Before the game, and sometimes after the game, especially if they lose. He's bouncing a ball for hours. One, two, three. Here's my... Say hello to my little friend. So Kobe likes to bounce a ball. Here's my repetitions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have to practice. No practice, you won't get the gold medal. You have to be prepared. You have to work at your craft. Shukadev says, the best way to chant is follow in the footsteps of authorities. Here in this movement, in this temple, our authority is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And famously he says,
sit properly.
And our authority is also on the altar, the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. We follow his teachings, their teachings. Shukadeva Goswami says, yes, you chant following in the ways of the approved authorities. He says, that is the doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone. Shukadeva Goswami continues. He goes, it's not about, Shukadeva is saying, it's not about how long you live. It's more about how you live whatever length of time you have. There are trees that we have here in California, hundreds of years old, redwood trees. But what is their level of God consciousness? Great saints, Jesus only lived, I think, 33 years. But that life was full of God consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only on the planet 48 years. So it's not about life extension. That's not what it's about. It's about quality of life. You live like when, before I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, back in the early 70s, the hip book was Be Here Now. So I went through that book and I was thinking, this is a whole bunch of gobbledygook. I mean, I don't know why my brother bought this book, but there was one chapter That chapter was called Bhakti Yoga. That one hit me. That was before I knew anything about Krishna. After, there were so many chapters in that book, and all of it was like, forget it, man. But that chapter, it was just a couple of paragraphs, I said, hey, I like the Bhakti Yoga, that sounds good. Then, later, I come in contact with a book like this. Anyone who does not have one of Prabhupada's books, you should take this book before you leave tonight. And it's only for the low, low price of $1. See how great this temple is? You get bargain basement deals all the time. So if you don't have any books by Srila Prabhupada, tonight you take home this book. Now, Shukadeva is saying, don't worry about you've only lived so many years. You should live now these last 7 days in full consciousness. Then Shukadeva gives the story of a previous king, Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga was a king who was so valiant that the demigods employed him. He was a human king, but the demigods employed him to help the demigods fight the demons. They gave him a long life. They expended his life and said, you help us fight the demons. So when the fighting was over and the demigods were successful, the demigods, being demigods, in other words, they didn't say, okay, thank you a lot, go ahead, goodbye. No, they wanted to give him a benediction. They were gracious. They were liberal. So they wanted to bestow on this Katvanga a special boon. So they said, you can ask from us anything you want. Demigods have that power. Wealth, women, kingdom, riches. Demigods have superpowers. So Katvanga was smart. Katvanga said to the demigods, yes, my benediction that I want. Tell me how much longer I have to live. And the demigod said, one moment. That's all you got left in your life. One moment. Katvanga decided, I must fully surrender to Mukunda. Everyone say that name?
Mukunda.
Mukunda is another name for God. One God, millions of names. So Katvanga completely surrendered to God because he knew one of his names is Mukunda, the one who gives liberation from this material world. And he achieved complete perfection in one moment. And that's still available to you. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, my friend, my good friend Kamlesh, he will quote you the verse. And Krishna says, if you surrender to me exclusively, heart and soul, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not hesitate. Do not worry. Do not fear. So you can do it within a second. One of Krishna's other incarnations, Lord Ram, you know what he says? Lord Ram says, anyone who surrenders to me once, wholeheartedly, I never forget that person, and I make sure, somehow or other, eventually, that person gets delivered. That's my kind of God. I'm not into this vindictive kind of God. I like the loving God, the merciful God. That's why when people ask me, hey, wait a second, you were raised this and that. No, hey, man, I got a much better God going here. Okay? It's much better. You show me a better God, maybe I'll think about it. But so far, ain't nobody going to show me a better God than Krishna. What to speak of the food. So, you can surrender within 1 second. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's all raise our hands. Now, our Lord and Master, Lord Chaitanya, says that the easiest way, the simplest way to surrender is simply chant His name. So now I want you to chant from the core of your heart. And I want you to chant so that the knuckleheads in the White House and all the senators, and they hear us. Okay? I want all those senators and congressmen to hear us. They get some brains. Repeat after me. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Okay, I'm going to take it up a notch. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Good. Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
Hare, Hare!
Hare, Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama, Rama!
Rama, Rama!
Hare, Hare!
Hare, Hare!
Give yourselves a hand. You did really good. You did so good that my tape recorder went into distortion mode. That's good. That's good. So, I would love to sit here and speak for another 6 hours, but I'm compassionate. So, we have about 10 minutes or 8 minutes. Would anybody like to ask a pertinent question? If there are no questions, that means you accept everything I said. There are no challenges. You're all in agreement. Oh, we got one. Go ahead.
So, Parikshit Maharaj was right after Krishna finished his mission. And it's so easy to cheapen and misinterpret all those things that happened right after Krishna. And you can just say, well, it was all karma, and things just happened. But then there's a transcendental understanding. What's the proper, healthy, well-rounded way to try to understand all of that stuff that went down right after? Between Krishna's leaving, the fate of the Pandavas, or the Yadavs, and then up to Parikshit.
Well, some of it is part of the drama, because when Krishna, God, appears, He appears with His entourage, and everybody is playing a particular role. So some of the incidents are part of the particular drama, but that doesn't take away from the valuable lessons that we are to learn. There was once a letter I remember reading that Prabhupada wrote his disciple Hayagriva Das. And Prabhupada says, the story is not as important as the lesson to be derived from it. Like sometimes we get caught up and we want to know every little detail, and sometimes people fight and they argue and they won't speak to each other for 3 years because they disagree on this point and that, and it's like, hello, why are you arguing about things that are beyond your scope? The main thing is to derive the purport, the conclusion. So even in this short little section that I did today, the purport, the conclusion, and Shukadeva is pointing it out. Death is coming to a theater near you. Your own theater. Get it together. Get your together. And be ready. When I wasn't in the Boy Scouts, but I was in the Cub Scouts. And I remember they had this mantra, be prepared. So yes, we should be prepared. And how do you be prepared? You arm yourself with knowledge. Again, make sure you get your knowledge, your book of knowledge that's being offered today. Every week you have a different book that you... Every month. Oh, it's the Book of the Month Club. Forget New York Times best-selling list. This is Laguna Beach Temple authorized Book of the Month recommendation. Recommended by Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Get your knowledge. Get your... I love... This is my new thing that I've been saying. Say hello to my little friend. Get your japa. Don't worry about getting guns. And this is my gun. See, look. I got my finger. I'm shooting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I got unlimited ammunition. Government can't take this away. Hare Krishna. Be prepared and always, like Parikshit, the description of Parikshit, he was always consciously surrendered to God. Consciously. That's what it means to be a devotee. To be always consciously thinking God. More questions.
Can you explain the law of karma as a...
Law of karma? Yes. I love law of karma. Law of karma is action-reaction. The whole book, Laws of Nature. This material world is the Matrix. Some of you might have seen those movies, The Matrix. This material world is a matrix. Who set it up? God. All the laws, all the rules, he set it up. Now, how do we fit in? We fit in because life is simply a series of choices and decisions. And he gives you three doors or three paths. One path is the path of goodness, righteousness. If you make your decisions governed by the mode of goodness, as it is taught in this book or the Bhagavad Gita, if you make your decisions all throughout your life guided by the principles of the mode of goodness, you become more and more elevated, enlightened, and eventually come to the point where you can easily enter the transcendental spiritual platform. Another door is the mode of passion. Passion. Money. Fame. Women. Wealth. Power. Name. Fame. Let's go for it. Okay. But Bhagavad Gita describes there are going to be drawbacks. And in the mode of passion, you don't get liberation. You come back again and do it all over. Yes. In the mode of passion, you get to come back as a human being again. And you get to go to school again. And you get to go through puberty again. And you get to... You know what it's like. You've all lived it. Right? You want to do that? You want to do it again? You know, Groundhog Day, that silly movie. Do you want to do it again and you get the same old thing? Right? Deja vu all over again. That's what it is. And that's been going on. We've been doing this thing for billions of lifetimes. We must really be dumb. And then there is the third door. The mode of darkness. The mode of ignorance. What is the mode of darkness and ignorance? Intoxication. Prostitution. Animal slaughter. Gambling. Gross, sinful activities. And what is the result of making choices in the mode of ignorance? You go down. You go downtown. Lower and lower species of life. Animals. Insects. Yes. This is all explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And God is not forcing you. You, me, we all make our own choice. As my mother used to say to me, she was my first guru, my mother. Rest her soul. She used to say, you make your bed, now you lie in it. That's what's happening. At every moment, we are being asked to make decisions and choices. And based on those decisions and choices, there's a reaction. There's your karma. You make a choice, you're going to get a reaction. Now, since this action-reaction is going on one after the other, one after the other, it becomes like a fan. And it'll keep running until what? You pull the plug. You pull the plug, it still goes, but eventually, if you don't plug it back in, but if you unplug the fan, eventually it comes to a stop. You all chanted nicely the Hare Krishna mantra and you all surrendered, right? You pulled the plug. Don't put the plug back in. Follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. Read these books and live your life moment after moment in this God consciousness. Then the fan is no longer running. And when all your karmic reactions die out, then you will have peace. Peace, man. Or in Indian people, you know, shanti, shanti, shanti. My favorite story, if I may tell my favorite story. Uh-oh, I'm over time. I'll just do the last thing. Every year I go to the country of Panama. And there's a particular Indian community known as Sindhis. So every year I do programs like this with very, very wealthy Sindhi people. So maybe about 7 years ago, I was in this very, very wealthy penthouse apartment in Panama. And there was all these people, Indian people from Hong Kong visiting relatives. So after my lecture, one very, very wealthy Indian lady said, Swamiji, Prabhuji, can you give me peace? I have no peace in my life. She thought I had a magic wand, you know. So I asked her, I said, do you eat meat? Oh, I love meat. I said, can't give you peace. I said, man, let's just see. Mataji, do you drink alcohol? Oh, yes. I said, strike number two, I can't give you peace. I knew sex wasn't going to be something, so I didn't go there. I mean, she was old and she was like 800 pounds. So I said, don't go there. So I said, do you gamble? Oh, yes. I said, three strikes, you're out. I can't give you peace. You're doing things that destroy peace. If you want peace, you have to give up sinful life. And that's why Prabhupada teaches there are four things you have to give up, otherwise there's no question of God consciousness, there's no question of spiritual life. You have to give up violence, animal slaughter, eating flesh. You have to give up intoxication. You have to give up illicit sexual connections, and you have to give up gambling. You give up these four things, you can have peace. Now, on top of that, you add the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you become like that. Haribo. All right. I'm over time. Thank you very much. Let's all rise and worship God. Thank you.
You gonna get a fair count?
I don't have the stamina.
Why don't you start?
Will someone take over?
Yeah, I got somebody to take over. Okay.